The grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good to see you all here this morning. You know, this passage from Romans chapter 6 probably sounds familiar to you. If it doesn't, I guarantee you've probably heard it before. It's a passage that I start almost every funeral with. It's what I read from the back of the sanctuary just before we process the casket down, at least if I know the person has been baptized. It's also a passage that I've been making the practice of reading at baptisms. It's a beautiful passage that we, especially as Lutherans, hang our hat on. There's so much grace and there's so much beauty in this passage, and it's so important for us to hear. We hear in this passage kind of the benefits of what we receive in baptism, and it doesn't speak of baptism here as some symbolic thing, but as something that God is doing to us. In baptism, we are united with Christ. We die in baptism. Baptism is our first death. And in that death, we receive the benefits of Christ's death. We were buried with Christ, united with Him in the tomb. Our old sinful self is crucified there and buried, united with Christ. So that as Christ was raised to new life, we too are raised to new life. As Christ comes out of the tomb, we come out of the tomb as well. We live with Christ. A new creation comes out of baptism. It's an important thing. It's a remarkable grace that we receive from God in this thing. And as I said, it's something to believe in. It's something to grasp hold of. That when I don't have, when I look at myself and I see myself as a sinner, as a person who is a dirty, rotten scoundrel, I can still look to my baptism and know that God has done something for me there, something I could not do for myself. We hold ourselves up with baptism. However, this presents a problem for us. And there's an inherent problem that sinners are going to have with this kind of good news and grace. And this problem is that we as sinners, we're abusive. And we like to abuse things that are given to us, including God's own grace. We will find a way to abuse this thing that God has given us. And Paul addresses this kind of with some rhetorical questions that he has right at the beginning of this chapter. Because he just got done talking about the wonderful grace of God. And so he says this, should we keep on sinning so that God's wonderful kindness will show up even better? No, we should not. If we are dead to sin, how can we go on sinning? Think of it like this. In 2009, there was a football player called Albert Haynesworth. He was a great big man, a defensive tackle for the Tennessee Titans, and just a monster and could really disrupt a game by the way he played. He played so well that when he became a free agent in 2009, everybody knew that he was going to get a big fat paycheck, that he had earned some serious money. The question was, who's going to give him that money? And it turned out to be the Washington Redskins. The Redskins signed Haynesworth to a $100 million seven-year contract. At the time, it was good money for a defensive player. It was a really one of the higher contracts at the time. But what happened is as soon as he had that fat check in his wallet, he became kind of a lazy player. He became sluggish. He was known for giving up on plays, giving very little effort. And within 3 years, he was out of football entirely. He just wasn't worth being on a team anymore. In fact, after the Redskins had him, I think the Patriots had him for a time, and then some other team, nobody wanted him. He had his money. He didn't play anymore. He gave up on the sport. And it became a cautionary tale for football teams. Is this player a person who's going to not try anymore once they get that paycheck? Is this person going to be different once we give them a load of money? Or are we still going to get an all-star every year? And every sport has to deal with this as the checks get bigger and bigger. Paul's point in this passage is that you and I have been given a great, big, fat paycheck of grace in baptism. But that doesn't mean we just stop living as God wants us to live. Should we keep on sinning because grace abounds? Do we treat God like it's some kind of symbiotic relationship, like we're a parasite? You know, we feed off of God's grace and we give God what he wants, a sinner to continue giving grace to. Do we give this kind of relationship? And the answer Paul gives is no. Baptism isn't the end of a conflict. It's the beginning of one. It's the inauguration of one. It's the start of a war that is waged in each of us. In baptism, God has claimed you. He has washed you of your sin. He makes you dead to sin. And then he wants you and he makes you alive to God. He causes you and desires in you that you would now be, as a baptized person, no longer a slave to the things that are of this world, but instead a servant of the Lord. As Jesus said, you can serve only one master. He didn't say you won't have a master. He says you serve one. And in baptism, our master is no longer sin and our old sinful self. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God the Father. Think of it this way. We've all heard stories of someone who was on the operating table, and the situation was dire, and maybe even they unofficially died on the operating table. Their heart stopped, and eventually the doctors got them going again, and as the person comes to, they're told this story, and they feel like they've been given a new lease on life. Like they've been given a second chance, and they want to take this second chance and do all they can with it, make the most of it, and live differently than they did before. Baptism is this exactly. We have been stolen from death and given new life. You have been given a new lease on life. You have been given a life, and you're supposed to walk in now the grace of God. Sin is no longer your master. You are freed from it. And by the Holy Spirit who now dwells in you, you are empowered, you are enabled to do the battle, to fight against that which still wants to make you its slave. You've received a fat contract of grace. But we don't give up on the play. We continue to fight. And we fight through daily repentance, daily prayer, daily worship, living daily in the promises of our baptism. The slave to sin, the old self, has been crucified with Christ and has been made powerless. Live now in the promises of baptism, in the grace of your baptism. Enjoy daily the forgiveness that God has for you and loves to bestow upon you. Enjoy daily the renewal that we receive from it. Know that you are dead to sin, but alive to God, to walk in life renewed. Amen.